from KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up next on this morning's forum program, we'll provide you a roundup of a number of important political news stories in our first half hour, and we'll hear expert analysis followed by a segment after the 9:30 break focusing on the controversy of the Oakland Diocese insisting on teachers in Catholic schools conforming to the morals of the Catholic Church. Join us for Forum's first hour. It's coming up next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. In this opening forum segment, we want to turn our attention to a number of domestic and international political stories which have been making recent headlines. Mitt Romney split from his fellow Republicans by calling for a minimum wage increase. First Lady Michelle Obama joined an online campaign to bring home the 200-plus kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls still missing. House Speaker John Boehner named seven fellow Republicans to investigate the 2012 deadly attacks in Benghazi, and President Obama released a new plan to promote energy efficiency. We'll talk about that and more, and joining us to discuss these and other stories, David Mark here in studio, editor-in-chief of Politics and Online Community, focusing on national politics, former senior editor with Politico. Welcome back, David Mark.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you, and also glad to have Leslie Clark, who joins us from the nation's capital, White House correspondent with McClatchy Newspapers, Washington Bureau. Leslie Clark, welcome.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Let's start off, David Mark, by talking about what happened on Friday with Speaker Boehner appointing seven Republicans to a 12-member committee investigating the 2012 attack that killed four Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. This is really sort of the height of political tensions. It's all preparing for midterm elections to a great extent. Nancy Pelosi calls it a political event. The Democrats are calling it a kangaroo court. But the Democrats are in a funny position here because they're divided, too. I mean, about whether or not they should go along with this. They don't want to appear like they're essentially copping out on this, and they don't want to have it come back to haunt them.
That's right. The whole Democratic line is that this is essentially old news. A number of congressional committees, I think up to eight congressional committees, have looked at this. They've had Hillary Clinton testify before she left office as Secretary of State. They say there's nothing new here. But as you suggest, Democrats, House Democrats, are really in kind of a political pickle here because they probably don't want to just cede this entire investigation to Republicans because it's possible, however unlikely, that they will come up with something new. The guy heading it, Congressman Trey Gowdy, Republican of South Carolina. He's a former prosecutor. And let's say they do find some new document or some new piece of evidence. If the Democrats don't have any representation on that committee, they're really in a tough position then.
Wasn't a lot of this kicked off, though, by Susan Rice's email?
Well, certainly. And that's essentially what forced Speaker Boehner to appoint this new so-called select committee, which is outside the normal committee structure in the House, basically suggesting some kind of malfeasance on the part of the Obama administration. That's the Republicans' perspective. Democrats, of course, say there's really nothing new and innovative about this. But there was a new piece of information that spurred this whole new committee.
Leslie Clark, how's the White House responding to all this?
Kind of touchy on it. They're saying that they'll defer to the Democrats in the House on whether or not they're going to participate, but they've certainly made it points to underscore that they think it's a political, entirely political exercise.
And there's also a good deal of pushback on Benghazi with Hillary Clinton, but also she's being taken to task for not including Boko Haram as a terrorist organization. How's that all playing out in Washington or at this point?
Yeah, that's the latest battlefront between the two parties. The Republicans are accusing her of refusing to designate the group as a terrorist organization, although various leaders were designated. And the Democrats are pointing out the remarks of a former Bush administration ambassador to Nigeria yesterday who said that it was, you know, something that the Nigerian scholars and analysts were opposed to as well at the time, along with the then Secretary of State.
And let me just get your read also, Leslie Clark, on President Obama's promoting energy efficiency, which I alluded to as an important part of this discussion. He was at Walmart talking about this, how good Walmart's doing. They're now solar panels up on the White House after 4 years, and he's hyping the fact that costs have come down. But at the same time, Walmart's kind of a poster child for a lot of labor issues.
Yeah, and he got called on that as well. I think at one point he had said he wouldn't shop at Walmart, and the administration would like them to do a lot better on raising the minimum wage. But they basically said, you know, he was there to address the climate issues.
Well, he's doing a lot of fundraising now, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he did 4 in 2 days last week in California, and then he's got another trip up to New York this week.
And let's talk more about the political terrain, David Mark, with you, if we could. Republicans are actually going to be cutting the number of primaries. They decided on that. They'll probably have half the number that they had last time with 20.
Well, that's right. They're going to cut the debates for the primaries and try and move the primary season later into early February. And this debate thing is really it's a touchy issue among Republicans because they really feel like there's almost a what they would call a liberal media conspiracy against them during the last primary season, in which you had hosts from MSNBC and other outlets they deem to be too liberal asking adversarial questions. What Republicans are trying to do here is police this, to say if you participate in an unsanctioned primary that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, does not give its support to, you won't be allowed into the official debates. In practice, it's very difficult to support this. Those who sponsor debate, Fox and otherwise, even those with a conservative tilt, want to put on a good show. They're not anxious to exclude a lot of candidates. So we'll see how this all plays out.
Well, at this point, I talked about President Obama. Leslie Clark said, indeed, he is doing a lot of fundraising, but so is Jeb Bush, raising a lot of money in key states. And Marco Rubio just went on record saying that he may be in this whole race. It's starting to shape up with a lot of Floridians, but you also got Rick Warren saying maybe he's going to be back and not blow it like he did the last time.
Well, that's right. That's a really interesting dynamic between former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and now Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Rubio was a protege of Jeb Bush, as Leslie knows, having covered Florida politics for years. And it'll be fascinating to see if they actually would run against each other, not to mention all the other candidates like Rick Perry, the current outgoing Texas governor, and probably seven or eight other viable Republican candidates for president.
Marco Rubio also seemed to tried to at least put down the whole idea of climate change, Leslie Clark. And this is probably in light of President Obama pushing it as strong as he is, at least in part, isn't it?
Yeah, Florida was one of the states that the White House sort of underscored in its report last week as saying it's going to be, you know, incredible, most vulnerable to damage as a result of rising sea levels.
Well, Marco Rubio is in this nonetheless with climate change as a major issue. I'm also wondering about how the Koch brothers are going to be involved, because they've been launching an attack on climate change. They've been certainly putting a lot of money to essentially oppose climate change. They're also got this Americans for Prosperity pledging aggressive use of funds. There was it's actually David Mark's former outfit, Politico, that released a memo about $125 million. There's likely to be more. Getting any sense of how the White House is responding to that? Leslie Clark?
Well, I think Democrats are hoping to counter a lot with the California Tom Steyer, who said he is willing to spend a lot of money on the other side.
Already has, and will spend more, and probably the Koch brothers will spend more, too. So we have a kind of a money battle here going, a battle royal with respect to climate change.
Yeah, it's definitely going to escalate as we get closer to 2014 and into 2016, as well, as you've already mentioned, with Rubio sort of dismissing it.
And what's been the response, if I may ask either of you or both of you, to the campaign that Michelle Obama has become part of vis-a-vis the terrible kidnappings that occurred in Nigeria? I mean, on the one hand, you have people like George Will saying you got millions of people and maybe they're just feeling good about saying I'm in this campaign. And then on the other hand, now there is word out today that Boko Haram said, well, we'll negotiate for our militants being released.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think there's some evidence that the pressure has upped a little bit on the Nigerian government to sort of be accepting of more international support as well. Before, it wasn't really, you know, in the news at all.
Yeah, I would just add to that. Before this horrific situation started recently, I would say 99% of the population could not name what Boko Haram is. They maybe couldn't even place Nigeria on a map. And I would say this really has brought that kind of attention and potentially is leading to tangible results. As Leslie said, of course, it's not just First Lady Michelle Obama. You have celebrities, Ellen DeGeneres. You have British Prime Minister David Cameron and a range of other high-profile people bringing attention to this. So I think it potentially has had some effect. And we also, of course, don't know what's going on with covert operations behind the scenes, what kind of assistance is being given from other countries, maybe the U.S., maybe others as well.
Again, David Marcus, editor-in-chief of Politics, and Leslie Clark with us from Washington, is White House correspondent for the McClatchy Newspapers, the Washington Bureau. David, what do you make out of Romney splitting over minimum wage? He's supporting it.
Yeah, this is more kind of a traditional establishment Republican point of view, where even a lot of Republicans in Congress who now are opposed to raising the minimum wage at least used to be willing to make deals over it when Bill Clinton was president, even when George W. Bush was president. He went along with raising the minimum wage. This is sort of, in some ways, a traditional big business perspective that maybe it's not your highest priority, but you're willing to trade it off for something, for business tax cuts or something else of that nature. And what else does Mitt Romney have to lose at this point? It's not like he's chasing primary voters. He's also among several fairly high-profile Republicans who are supporting it raising in the minimum wage. Former Senator from Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum, who may very well run for president again, and former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, who is also for it.
We're talking again about a number of issues in the news, certainly giving you kind of a political news roundup this first half hour of Forum. And I'd like to invite listeners to join us if you have questions or comments or responses to anything we're covering here. I'd simply like to join the conversation. You can do that now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Again, we welcome your calls or your emails. Toll-free number again is 866-733-6786, and you can email us forum@kqed.org or join us by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And Leslie Clark, Speaker Boehner is going to be addressing the Hispanic Chamber today and is likely to touch on immigration reform. Any thoughts on what the Republican message will be on this?
Yeah, they'll probably be talking about how they're trying to do a number of things, but they seem to blame the White House for any of the inability to get anything passed.
That'll be the message or the narrative. Agreed, David?
Yeah, certainly. That has been the Republican line that about why they have not been able to get through some sort of immigration reform, that they don't, quote unquote, trust the White House on this. The White House hasn't been acting in good faith. At one point, the House Republican leadership was talking about breaking up immigration reform into several different bills. And it's not really clear what strategy they have now, if any. And if House Republicans do push forward immigration reform, Speaker Boehner is going to have to make a fundamental decision that he's willing to go against a good portion of his own conference, many House Republicans who just don't favor any sort of path to citizenship or anything of that nature.
Again, we're talking about a number of stories in the news and highlighting them and doing a kind of potpourri here of things that have been getting headlines, garnering headlines. And if you have some thoughts about anything that we are covering, we are certainly inviting you to join us. Feel free to do that. You can also go to our Facebook page or go to our email address, forum@kqed.org. Wondering about if we can look ahead just for a moment with you, Leslie Clark, on June 6th, D-Day anniversary. Well, President Obama is going to be with Vladimir Putin once again, face-to-face. What's the anticipation around the White House on that?
Yeah, I was just mentioning that to a colleague, how interesting that was, that the two of them will both be at the 70th anniversary of D-Day in Normandy. The White House is playing down any likelihood of the two of them meeting, saying that this is not a summit. This is, you know, it's not an agenda for the president to have one-on-one meetings with any world leaders, let alone Putin. It's to commemorate D-Day anniversary. However, obviously, Ukraine is likely to remain a hot-button item, and the White House in the past has played down the possibility of the president meeting with Putin, and then it turned out that the two of them have had, like, you know, short meetings to sort of hash stuff out in person. So that possibility always remains.
Going back for a moment with you, if I may, Leslie Clark, to the ongoing crisis in Nigeria, what really is the White House able to do? I mean, I think they're sending some advisors, but already they've been turned down in terms of drone surveying and a number of other things from the Goodfriend government, the Jonathan Goodfriend government. What can they really do?
Yeah, Nigeria has been very reluctant over the years to accept a lot of U.S. aid and a lot of U.S. recommendations on how they should deal with their with the terrorist groups. So the White House and other countries as well have to sort of walk this fine line on how much aid to offer without, you know, sort of upsetting the idea of sovereignty of the country.
It's a very tough line to walk, I recognize. But at this point, it would seem like certainly they want to help as much as they can. I mean, at least...
Right, but they can't force a country to...
Obviously,
there.
Right.
It is sort of a tough thing. As much as you want to, you've got to sort of restrain yourself and just offer the aid.
Major sovereignty questions, as you've said, involved in this. I'm wondering also, David Mark, if we can get back to the political landscape once more. We started off talking about Benghazi and the hearings that are going to be held. The Democrats want to at least have one Democrat signing off on all subpoenas, and the Republicans clearly aren't going to give in on this.
Right, that's not going to happen. Republicans have said repeatedly they will negotiate over the rules and logistics here, but they are not going to give essentially Democrats veto power over subpoenas because that drives the entire investigation. The panel is supposed to be divided into 7 Republicans and 5 Democrats, and that's something else Democrats, of course, objected to that they did not get their way on. And so this is why I think House Democrats ultimately will field a full roster, you might say. They're going to have everybody there at the very least to watch over what House Republicans are doing and to object to every subpoena that comes down. We've seen versions of this going back to the Clinton impeachment situation 15 plus years ago, where it's not really about winning in the committee hearing. It's about making a public spectacle and essentially making the whole panel discussion illegitimate, saying this isn't a real issue and a waste of time and taxpayer money.
Well, we mentioned the kind of risks that are involved for the Democrats in this, but the Republicans risk a good deal, too. I mean, because the public is not necessarily that concerned about Benghazi. The polls seem to rail. Just takes a few years with respect to attention span. But more than that, they feel that it has been gone over and that a lot of this is just political theater.
Well, absolutely. But it polls well. It plays well among many conservative quadrants.
So we're talking fundraising again?
Well, sure. And Republicans have been, they don't like to discuss it, but they have been fundraising off of it. And both sides do this. You could get into a discussion which side is more brazen and inappropriate about it. But absolutely, Republicans have been holding fundraisers off of this for some time there. There's nothing new about that.
Yeah, Leslie Carr, get you on this?
Yeah, and I was going to say, and it's an issue that resonates very much with their base, and that's who usually turns out. President Obama, in a number of his fundraisers, has lamented the fact that Democrats, I think at some point he called, suffer from a disease, a congenital defect, which is that they don't turn out in the midterm elections unless there's, because there's no presidential ticket on the ballot. And so knowing that, if you've got depressed Democratic turnout in the midterms, you really want to pump, the Republicans want to pump up their turnout, and this is an issue that plays very much to their base.
Well, since we're talking about the Republican base, we've mentioned Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio probably already having their hats in the ring, maybe even Rick Warren and Santorum. But you know who's polling high well among the base continually is Rand Paul.
Right. Rand Paul represents a certain segment of the Republican coalition right now. He's really tried to move beyond what people think of him as just the son of Ron Paul, the kind of maverick, even pretty far out there, libertarian Republican congressman. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, he's tried to talk about issues like felons, voting rights, vote going against some of the voter ID laws. He's also tried to sort of make common cause with a lot of liberal Democrats on foreign policy. You might say anti-interventionist against the Iraq war, against such military issues in Syria and elsewhere. I still think there's a limit on that type of support within the Republican coalition. He's not the greatest campaigner. He has a propensity to make rather controversial statements. So I don't see Rand Paul as the Republican nominee, but he sure could play kingmaker and play a decisive role in the nomination process.
And what's the role of the Tea Party in upcoming elections? I mean, it's been up and down, vacillating all over the place.
Well, this time around, it looks like the Tea Party challengers to sitting Republican senators and congressmen are not likely to win. There's not one case where it looks like a sitting Republican senator is going to lose. maybe in Mississippi, Thad Cochran, longtime Republican senator there, could be in some trouble. But there, the Tea Party's time may have peaked. Also, establishment Republicans have just gotten smarter about preparing to do battle against them, and they've gotten their political house in order, you might say.
And they want, clearly, Leslie Clark, to have a majority in the Senate. I mean, that's the game plan, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to retain the majority in the House and take over a majority in the Senate, they're playing hard for it.
Playing hard in, suggests hardball, of course, but in what ways that may even be different or unusual, as you see it?
Oh, I don't know that it's any different or unusual from any other years, but I mean, it's definitely a focus as they raise money for it. I mean, the amounts of money are pretty staggering.
Well, we mentioned before the Koch brothers putting in $125 million. That's according to a memo that Politico got a hold of, but that may just be the tip of the iceberg here.
Well, that's right. And as Leslie alluded to, Democratic turnout usually goes down in these off-year, these midterm elections. And that's what this Americans for Prosperity, this Koch brothers-backed group is really getting at, trying to gin up their own turnout at the same time that Democratic base turnout is probably likely to be down. And they're trying to, in a sense, copy the Obama playbook to go after specific micro-targeted parts of the electorate in key states in Ohio, Florida, Colorado, etc. And that's how elections are won and lost these days.
Do you think, Leslie Clark, that President Obama is as fervid and as committed, considering the fact that he doesn't have to run again? I mean, about support
absolutely.
For his party? Yeah.
Well, he might not have to run again, but his entire agenda is on the line, he says, if Democrats don't retain the Senate in 2014. I mean, if he has two chambers opposed to him, he says he'll get even less done than he gets done now. So absolutely, I think that he's in it as much as he is, as much as he was for 2008 or his reelection.
How do you think this new plan of his promoting energy efficiency is playing out in the heartland?
Out in the heartland of Washington, D.C.
you got your hand on the pulse beyond there, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think it plays well within the base, but I'm not sure how well it plays, among Republicans.
What do you think, David Mark?
I think it's not doesn't even play so well among some Democrats. If you look like
and Senate Democrats in some conservative blue states.
That's right. You look at Senator Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, which is it's a pretty red state, Republican leaning at this stage. Yeah, there's even a fairly competitive race in Michigan where the Democratic candidate, he's a sitting congressman, is sort of running away from some of the cap and trade initiatives and alternative energy because a lot of those constituents or potential constituents are out of work and anything they see threatening jobs, they're not going to go for.
Right. And a lot of Senate Democrats tried to push a vote to force Obama on the Keystone, hoping that they could get a vote so they could go on the record in support of Keystone, even if he's opposed to it.
That's right.
Well, the segment has gone quickly. I'm sorry, those of you who we didn't get on, but we covered a lot. We covered a lot of territory. And we're going to be shifting gears here, talking about the Oakland Diocese wanting teachers to conform to Catholic Church morals. That will be in the segment ahead. And that's not just here in the East Bay. That's a story that's become nationwide, also in Santa Rosa, but in Cincinnati. In Cleveland and Honolulu. You have to wonder if some of it is a response to the new Pope. But we'll hear from the diocese. We'll also hear from Sam Levin, who's been covering this for the East Bay Express. Let me extend thanks to David Mark, who is with us, editor-in-chief of Politics, an online community focusing on national politics. He's former senior editor with Politico. And thanks to you, Leslie Clark, White House correspondent with McClatchy Newspapers from the Washington Bureau. Thanks to you, our listeners. Another segment, as I said, up ahead. Stay where you are. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.